across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Peter Gabriel there with Games Without Frontiers, which leads me nicely into my second guest today, who is Adrian Killins. He is a resident of Camborne and a keen gamer with a particular interest in retro gaming. He volunteers at the Centre for Computing History and he's been involved with the organisation of various gaming events, but now wants to gather all that passion and experience together to create his own retro gaming night, and he's here now to tell us all about it. So, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. And you just said to me that you were listening in earlier and said you heard me say I have absolutely no interest in going. Not quite what I said, but I said that gaming is not my thing. So we'll get onto that in just a moment. But why don't you explain your interest in gaming and kind of where it all started for you?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I had a Mattel Aquarius. Probably not many people know what that is, but it's kind of a rubber keyed computer made by Mattel, obviously, toy manufacturer. Played some video games on that as a kid, enjoyed that, graduated to, I had quite a weird kind of segue through computing, end up going from that to a BBC Micro and playing stuff like Chucky Egg and Space Invaders and Castle Quest and that kind of stuff. And then for some reason, I'm not sure why, I ended up with an Acorn Electron after that, and then eventually graduated onto the consoles and just got more and more into games the older I got. Started getting video game magazines, trying to program and write video games as a kid. And then I kind of lost interest in video games a little bit when we got to the 3D era. So about after the 16-bit era, once we got into, like, say, PlayStation and Sega Saturn and all that kind of stuff, the games to me just looked a little bit rubbish, like we were trying to do something that we couldn't really do. And so I started kind of going backwards a little bit and just doing stuff like, I remember, like, buying old Amigas and stuff like consoles and computers that I kind of didn't play the first time around, but rather than own a Sega Saturn or a PlayStation back then, I was like quite happy carrying on, like going and finding an NES or something. That's the 8-bit Nintendo for those that don't know.
So what was it then that kind of grabbed your imagination? Because as a child, I mean, I played a bit of Mario Brothers and, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog and all that sort of stuff, which is great, and I enjoyed it. But, you know, I didn't kind of go mad over it, if that makes sense. So what was it for you that kind of grabbed your imagination? And you know, was it about sort of wanting to maybe create it yourself, or, you know, all of those?
It definitely wasn't at first wanting to create it myself. At first it was just sitting there getting absorbed in your own little world and kind of just, it's an odd one, I guess. Maybe it's a certain personality type that it takes to kind of, maybe I was a little bit insular as a kid or something, and it's like I'd rather
just
sit on a Todd.
Yeah,
but then at the same time it's kind of like, I guess it's a little bit of a solitary thing back then, and you're not playing online with other people or anything else, but then you start reading the magazines and then you're going to school and then you realise, oh, well, there's other people out there, and they've also got a BBC Micro or ZX Spectrum. You start talking to them and then it starts to become a little bit more sociable, and then you start hanging around with the other people that have also got the same computers that you've got, and swapping games and copying games and hanging out and talking about video games and going around each other's houses. So it's kind of, I guess it kind of builds from there socially and mentally.
Yeah, and you volunteer. I've not heard of this place before. You volunteer for the Centre for Computing History. So tell me more about that place then. Whereabouts is it?
That is a museum. It's down Coldham's Lane or Coldham's Road, one or the other, near the. Do you know the pool place?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, just down there. Mm-hmm. So it's a museum. It started maybe 5 years ago, I think it is now.
So it's still pretty new then.
Still quite new in the grand scheme of things, but they've been going from strength to strength. And I volunteered there, like, at the beginning, and I helped them put on, like, a few events. So I'd kind of do stuff like, I started doing a retro video game night there, and basically the whole premise behind it was just get a bunch of people down there after hours on a Friday, let them bring their own beer along and just get a burger van outside, and that's it, and that's all you kind of needed. And then it's kind of got a little bit more mature from there. It's now got a licensed bar in there on a Friday, but not every Friday, it's like once every quarter they're doing the retro night. And then, so I'd put that on, try and get people that have made games in the past down there. So I've got hold of John Romero, who some people listening might know. John Romero founded id Software with Carmack, and the two of them created a load of, like, very famous video games like Doom and Quake. and we got John Romero to come down and do a little talk for us, and had a whole bunch of people there getting their stuff signed and listening to him talk about how he'd created the video games that he'd worked on.
Fantastic.
Had Mike Montgomery from Bitmap Brothers talking about Speedball, John Eyre coming down chatting about his work on Sensible Soccer and the stuff that he'd done at Sensible Software.
That's great.
Yeah, so put on a whole bunch of events, and that's been like a fun thing about volunteering there, is kind of having kind of like the name of the museum behind you gives me a kind of an excuse to go and like annoy these people and go,
brilliant,
you know, can you come down do a little talk?
These names mean nothing to me, but presumably for people who are interested in this stuff, this is like big, you know, these are big names in the gaming world, and that's really exciting. Who are the types of people who are going down and kind of getting involved? And presumably, you know, I love listening to people's passion, even if it's not mine. I love people talking about what they're interested in and they're passionate about. And, you know, how would you encourage someone like me, say, for example, who kind of isn't necessarily in that way?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because there's two ways of looking at that. Because if you're looking at it from a point of view that you're marketing something, then I did a marketing module when I was at university, and there's two ways of marketing something. So it's either we're kind of going outside of our demograph and kind of trying to market you and pull you into this demograph, or we're marketing it by, what's the word I'm looking for, almost like you're discriminating against people. And it's almost like if you're marketing Rolls Royce, you don't want to market it to basically become a cab or something.
Yeah.
So do we want you at our event?
But then on the other hand, what you're saying to me as well is that, you know, it started off like really casual, come down, bring a beer with you, have a pizza or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's actually a social event.
Yes, it is.
So actually, that's kind of the pull, isn't it?
You know? I guess that's another way of looking at it. There's two types of people that go to it. So you've got some people who go there and they'll just play games and they'll literally like zone out and they'll go straight to whatever their favourite console is or was. So they'll head off to the Mega Drive and sit there and play Sonic for an hour.
Yeah.
Or they'll just, you know, skip between all the different machines and play everything. And then you've got some people that will just go there and they're massive retro fans and they kind of just want to be around those people and have those sounds around them. So they're quite happy to go there and just grab a beer and then chat to other people that are into the same sort of thing that they're into whilst being surrounded by that ambience.
And I think the other interesting thing is that, you know, it's... Again, it's like I years and years ago, I got invited to go with a friend of mine to a rugby league game. Now, I'm a rugby union girl, being Southern, you know, like rugby union is more what I grew up with. I love that. She invited me to this rugby league game and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll like go along. But the thing is, you get caught up in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So again, that's another way of kind of pulling people in, is that I could say, well, I'm not really interested in it, but I'll go anyway. And once you get there, you kind of get caught up in that vibe. So presumably that's another way of kind of, you know, encouraging people to go down.
Yeah, you do get like a few, if you look at it like a pyramid kind of like system, where at the top of at the bottom, you've got like the hardcore people, and then it's kind of like you got fewer and fewer as you get to the top of the triangle, and you might have someone that's just got no interest in video games at all, but they like beer and they like being sociable, so they want to come in there and they still want to, you know, have a good time, but they might not be a regular, but they're happy to come down and see something from their childhood.
So that kind of takes us nicely into the fact that you are now organising your own event as well. So it's a big job though, isn't it, to do, to kind of be at the top and have to pull it all together. So tell me more about that.
It's nice in a way though, because it means that the buck kind of stops with you.
Yeah.
So you're basically like doing everything, so you don't have to kind of like clear anything or ask anything. It's kind of like you just basically choose the date, find the venue, and put the whole thing on. But no, it's been really good fun doing it. It's a little bit smaller than doing it at the museum as well, because the museum's kind of, it's, I think, the max capacity of that venue, something like, I think last time I checked, it was around 150 due to fire exits and whatnot. And the place that I'm at now, it's kind of a venue that's got a capacity of about 50 people. So it doesn't take that many people to get like a good atmosphere going. It's kind of like fewer consoles, and I'm putting everything out, so it's from my own collection as well. So it's quite nice curating the whole thing and choosing what I put out. And it's also really nice seeing the other people in Camborne that have got like a similar interest that I've got.
So that's actually where it's going to be, isn't it? You're actually going to do it closer to home for
It's at the Hub in Camborne on the 4th of October.
Great. And so what's the idea then? Is this something that you want to make a regular a regular thing or see how it goes first and kind of test the water?
I did it once before as a one-off and really enjoyed doing it, and I thought it'd be quite nice to do something like, you know, close to my doorstep on a semi-regular basis. So I'm just going to see how it goes with each one. So if each one goes well and people want it, and a load of people last time as they were leaving just kind of had no idea that these kind of events existed because they might not have never been to the Centre for Computing History or never been to a games expo or something. So it was like, but it was on their doorstep, they checked it out. It kind of exposed them to something that they didn't know existed before, and they were quite happy to while away a couple of hours with like a few beers. And like, you know, you can order food in there as well, so you can like bring in fish and chips or order a Domino's or whatever and sit around and chat to people and play video games. And it's kind of, it's got a really good kind of vibe to it. It's got kind of like a pub vibe, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's the real, I mean, I live in Campbell as well, you know, so it's kind of my neck of the woods. And I think that's actually really what's great about, I mean, I know it happens in other areas as well, but Campbell to me seems like a really community spirited place. And like you say, you know, I think it's kind of just put things out there and then you suddenly realise there's this whole network of people that are interested in the same thing, but you've kind of got to take that leap of faith to begin with as well. But it's building up relationships around where you live, which is always a great thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of facilities for us to do that. I think some people look down their nose at Camborne to a certain extent, but it's kind of one great thing about Camborne is that there's loads of little buildings. There's like the Hub, there's cricket pavilions, there's the bowls pavilions, all these little venues, you can get them really cheaply. So if you've got an idea or something you want to do, it's like you can just rent one of those venues out, pay your deposit, put some flyers around and just see who turns up.
Yeah, it's good. So, and what do you, how, you're a family man.
Mm-hmm.
So how much time do you kind of realistically get to indulge yourself in your passion?
This is like an excuse to spend more time doing it outside of the house. I think in the house, I'm probably doing less gaming than I was beforehand, but by putting on these sort of things. And I used to do it at my house as well. Like, I had a few friends locally that were into retro gaming and they'd all come around. And so I'd probably do it more socially if I put it in a diary and go, you know, Friday night, like, I'm having some friends around, we're going to get some beers in, some pizza, and we're going to play old games. Whereas if I'm sitting there on my own at home, then probably other things take precedence.
Distract you, really, yeah. So, well, it all sounds great. And, you know, I've certainly learned something as well. But, I mean, gaming has moved forward. Like you were saying, you know, they've got all these various 3D games and stuff like that. But the retro gaming is something different. It's not, you know, it's a kind of a different era. You've sort of touched on it, but why is it that you haven't wanted to sort of move ahead with the times, as it were?
I've moved on now.
Okay.
There was just an era that I skipped. Right. So I kind of got back into modern gaming again, like late in the life cycle of the Xbox 360. And now I've got a PS4 and a Wii U and a bunch of other stuff.
So what's the difference between the period where you were like not interested to the...
They just couldn't do it, I don't think. There was, for me personally, it was like games just looked a bit naff. They weren't very good. And then all of a sudden, it's like now if you look at something like GTA 5 or Far Cry or something like that, it's like those games look awesome and they just play amazingly. And it's like I could sit there and play those games all day, but I couldn't sit there and play, I don't know, GTA 3 on a... I didn't think personally, loads of people would probably hate me for saying that, but I thought it was a bit of a naff game on the PlayStation and the other stuff that it came out on back in the day.
So that's cool. Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Where can people get all the information to your event? And also, I guess, if you know it, all the information for the museum as well, really.
I'll start with my event.
Okay.
It's if you search on Facebook for Camborne Retro Video Game Night, then you'll see the next one. It's coming up on the 4th of October. It's over 18s because we've got a licensed bar and some of the video games might be 18 rated, so that's why we're doing that. It starts at, I think it's 6, 7 o'clock, but search it online. I think you can also go to retrovideogamenight.com, then I've just bought that URL and just pushed it towards the tickets thing so you can buy a ticket in advance or just pound the door.
Okay.
And then for the museum, it is computinghistory.org.uk. Right. Just Google. I think if you just Google Computer Museum Cambridge, it'll come up.
Touching on something you've just said as well, as regards the age, would there be a slot perhaps somewhere in the future to do one that's sort of more child-friendly?
So. I mean, the museum did it. They kind of took the retro gaming night and they turned it into, they've got another one that they do and they call it family gaming night. Yeah. And that's obviously a little bit of a different vibe. There's no bar, the lights are a bit brighter and it's kind of, you've got more people coming there because obviously for every ticket you're selling, you're not selling one ticket, you're selling like three or four tickets and everyone can just, kids can run around and go nuts and do what they want to do. So, I mean, the one that I'm doing is a different kettle of fish to that. But then, yeah, later on, if people think, oh, yeah, I'd love to do this, but I'd love to bring my kids along, then maybe later on I'll do a more family-friendly one.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been really interesting to chat to you and hear about your passion, really. And, yeah, if you stick around, I'll do the travel and we'll get a photo of you, pop on the website, and people can find all that information. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.